This show contains quite a lot of swearing, so if you're offended by that kind of thing or have young children around, you have been warned.
You're not putting orange juice on your cereal.
Wow, that dip is delicious.
It's What a Combo with me, Fern Brady. Hello, I'm Fern Brady and this is What a Combo, the podcast about mad food combinations. This is the show where me and my guests eat ridiculous food combinations week after week so you don't have to. Think stuff like watermelon and mustard, garlic bread and orange juice, ice cream and crispy chili sauce. That was one of the worst ones. We've done them all. As well as listening to the show, you can also watch us eat this nonsense over on YouTube. Just head over to Twisted's page and you'll find us there. And if you're watching already, hello! Today's guest, if you mix fresh berries with a crushed meringue and double cream to make a luxurious eating mess, garnish with a whole bulb of crushed raw garlic and melt over a bar of Tony's Chocolonely, discard any traces of truffle, add some popping candy and chuck in loads of paprika, bake everything for 25 minutes and play a game of Top Trumps while you wait, is comedian Ivo Graham.
Hello. What a strange intro.
Yeah, it was quite strange.
I mean, I liked it all, but I know it's all about crazy combos, but I must stress I've never done that exact thing. I mean, it sounds great.
Well, I'm glad you've come on because I think we've eaten together more than most comedians I've worked with.
Yes, and also you've got contempt for me and my taste in food.
I've always eaten in a way that's very different to me. I thought because you're posh that you would eat really nicely. And then I remember being appalled when we were on a bus to, I think we were going on a wine tour in Australia. And I think you were hungover and you were just eating a sausage roll in a very aggressive way. And then some sort of cake or biscuit at breakfast time. And that's not the right time to eat
it. It's funny that, because I thought, which bit of the Graham Brady, not the politician, repertoire is going to be drawn on here? And I was thinking maybe, you know, when we were doing the Dave Travelogue, British as Folk.
One of the most watched Dave shows of all time.
A tragic decommission, as far as I'm concerned. History will not look kindly on those who did not give us a second series of British as Folk. But that was travelling around a lot together, eating on the go, often doing slightly strange food challenges. When you said the wine tour in Melbourne, that surprised me because that's one of my happiest memories. And my memory of that is us laughing on the bus back to Melbourne as we're all sort of like mucking around and sort of switching seats on the bus. But even from that happy day, there's a bit of my food shame that I'd forgotten.
Sorry. Like, I remember it in slow motion. You were putting the sausage roll to your mouth and
aggressively.
Me being like, what?
I mean, I've got to say, Fern, obviously, thank you very much for sort of almost like promoting my poor eating. Because, you know, all publicity is good publicity. And I wasn't expecting when I did Off Menu to become a sort of punchline for sort of hideous disrespect for food. And so when you started talking about it on your episode, I was like, oh, yeah, no, this brand, such as it is really been quite heavily reinforced now.
Do you think you can contradict me? Do you think you
No, not
love?
At all. Your voice is in my head. When
you
replied to an Instagram story I'd put up of me eating a Quaker Oats flapjack on a train, and you replied, "This is what I'm talking about. Just no respect for food or yourself." I think about that so much whenever I'm snacking. It's like, no respect for food or yourself is such a big two.
Well, some of your friends have described you as the dustbin.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like,
so you're the perfect person to have on this.
Almost sort of gratefully. Like, I lived with my friend Rose, who was a caterer for a bit. She made amazing stuff, and there were always sort of like leftover canapes from like some wedding preps she'd done. But I was like, oh, maybe I'll move in and I'll become a foodie. And instead, I just became the sort of waste disposal unit for all of her car. And she was like, it's great. I never feel guilty about throwing stuff away, because you'll always turn up from a gig at 11 p.m. and just anything that's on the sideboard will be gone.
So what have you brought in for the snacking combo today? It smells nice.
I mean, here we are. What you're looking at? Oh, wow. It hits you when the cloche comes off.
I mean, it looks nice. We should describe for anyone listening. This is, I believe, boursin.
It's boursin. It's your standard. I can't, for something I've eaten so much of in my life, I can't even tell you what it's like a herby cream cheese.
Yes.
What's the herb?
Isn't it garlic and chives?
It's garlic and chives. Thank you very much, Fern.
And there's thin apple slices as well.
Yes.
Very delicately sliced.
Very delicately sliced. Green and red. So those tastes are at least catered to. So I'm not having as much boursin in my life as I used to, because I find it's very difficult to, you know, once the foil is open, it tends to be a bit of a one-stop shop. And it is obviously a huge amount of cheese to take on board in a single go.
When did you first eat this?
I'm afraid to say it was something I would have in my own room at boarding school.
Yes!
Let's get straight to the business end.
Watching Neighbours?
No, Neighbours you'd watch in the common room with you know, 20 other people. So you'd be drawing attention to yourself if you cracked into a full boursin during Neighbours.
I have to explain here, I went to the set of Neighbours with Ivo.
Yes.
And he was vibrating with excitement to the point that I think at one point we had to kind of leave the set because you were so excited. It was distracting the actors.
We were meters from Toadfish. I couldn't believe it. When you start doing stand-up, do you dare to dream that one day you'll be doing comedy at the Melbourne Comedy Festival and someone will be coming up to you in a late-night bar and saying, by the way, I used to work on Neighbours. Do you want to get in my car tomorrow morning and come for a tour of the set?
It was good.
It was absolutely phenomenal.
Because Ivor used to watch it at boarding school. And then what was the thing where you said you would all run out into the corridor and hit?
We had a big...
Because you were excited.
Yeah. The the boarding house was like a big sort of spiral staircase. So then there were three common rooms. There was upper sixth on the top floor, lower sixth common room on the middle floor, and then everyone else's common room on the bottom floor. B block, C block, and the rest. But everyone's watching Neighbours, you know, whether you're 13 or whether you're 18. That matters a lot to you. Mm. So whenever there was a big dramatic twist, romantically, or when Neighbours started to pile on stuff like the plane crash, everyone would run out and they would, like, sort of slam the banisters of the... of the stairs. So, but if you imagine, you know, in 10 Things I Hate About You, have you seen that movie?
Yeah, many times.
So when they chuck out the invitations to Bogie Lowenstein,
Sexy Boy plays,
and it's that lovely shot from below of the invitations just cascading down the stairwell. So imagine that, but with boys like leaning over the stairs, just like going... Neighbours!
That's how I imagined it. Isn't dissimilar to a cheese board, by the way, so this isn't too bad at all.
How much of this... you've made a lovely little sort of Stonehenge.
Yeah. All the stories that we just said took place at Eton. Competitive prices if you want to send your little boy there.
Yeah.
I didn't want to mention that you'd gone to Eton again, so I want to stop bringing it up now.
It'll be in the blurb.
Feels like
do we have napkins?
Yeah, there's napkins there.
Oh, sorry, of course.
You mentioned...
Quite a weird thing watching someone just polish off an entire boursin on camera. I mean, thanks for having me.
Well, so there's been worse combinations and I've been shocked how quickly people move through them.
Well, Apple is
Holy
quite solid.
Christ. Sorry, you are firing through that as if there's a timer. There's not a countdown timer.
I mean, it's just so good, isn't it?
It's all right.
It's so rich.
This weird thing is happening where in this accent, I'm going to say to you, I wouldn't actually buy a boursin because I see it as a sort of common cheese. I would rather buy something fancy.
Whereas I'm going, I love it. It reminds me of Eton.
Yeah. It makes me think of the life I left behind.
Oh, dear. I'm afraid I've revealed the secrets at the heart. We're on the final day of shooting, and you're down to your last couple of napkins. This is a disaster.
What are you doing?
I'm afraid I've struggled to release my napkins.
So when would you eat this now?
Sorry, Fern. I think I just have to make a clean break for it with the entirety of the napkin complex. Yes. Fantastic. Right. I mean, I'm afraid that's... I hate to describe anything as someone else's problem.
Right. So Ivo's just destroyed the...
Well, I haven't destroyed, you know...
Napkin
you know,
holder.
I don't think I've ever taken
just
a...
Just put it back and we can move on with the... Does anyone else in your family eat like this? Because I still follow your sister on Instagram. Ivo's sister is a model, a top model.
She was a model. She did modelling.
She's
still very much aligned with the fashion world, and her Instagram is still edgy and tasteful.
If I eat this, can I be a model?
That's not for me. There are so many factors. I don't think a single, heavy day on the Borsan is going to sort of rule out whole chapters of your future. But I think it can set some dangerously addictive processes in motion. I mean, I remember so much the sort of experience. Like, it's very evocative for me, trying to sort of like fold it over and make it neat and being like, oh, well, we can sort of reduce it to this little sort of like, sort of undignified onion, and then like another day. But really, it's just so messy. You're just like, yeah, it's easier just to finish it now and then scrape the remaining balls off the bottom.
Oh, I like this. So he's just forking it out now. I want to do that. Oh, so next up, it's your wild combo. But before that, we're going to play a quick game of good combo, bad combo. I'm going to present you with a combination of things. You're going to tell me if they're good or bad by saying good combo or bad combo. Let's go. Yorkshire puddings and gravy.
Yeah, one of the great combos.
Ivo Graham and Fern Brady.
Fantastic.
Bread, cheese.
Channel 4. They all want a bit.
Bread, cheese, pickled onion and ham.
Fantastic.
Flash mobs and cringe.
I see what you're getting at there, but I'm going to go into bat for the flash mob again and say no, not cringe.
Long nights in winter.
Yes, that's an unavoidable fact.
Eton and prime ministers of the UK.
Well, I don't think there should be as much correlation as there is, but I suppose I would have to say at this current point, what a combo.
Swindon and roundabouts.
Yes, very much the main calling card of the town.
I've insulted Swindon in the recording of my latest stand-up show.
Have you?
Yeah, am I going to get in trouble for it? It was just a passing insult that I ad-libbed.
Like, there will be a corner of the internet where it is discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to go looking for that, you'll be able to find it. And if you let it affect your mood, it might.
I just said the truth. I'm scared when I get the train from Bristol. And then when all the Swindon people get off, I feel less frightened.
Yeah, I mean, that is quite a specific attack on the people of Swindon.
But it's how it is. Have you ever got the late night train from Bristol to London? Every time. It just gets better. It gets better when it stops at Swindon. And then Chippenham, you're like, ah.
And is this linked to a sort of broader point about sort of trains or groups of people in public transport? Or is it just specifically you're like, I'm going to make the main focus of my new special, taking to Swindon?
You're a Swindon-based man and you're a passionate supporter of Swindon Town.
Well, yeah, if I'm doing a gig in Bristol and I'm staying with my parents in Wiltshire afterwards, I'm getting off the train at Swindon and you're breathing a sigh of relief.
You don't seem like the train people.
Right.
You've been in the Swindon Advertiser. Positive coverage?
I think so, yeah.
I asked a handful of people that work for Sony Music, the makers of this podcast, to name the most famous thing about Swindon. What do you think they said?
Isn't Swindon where they have the magic roundabout, like that crazy roundabout with loads of little roundabouts in it to make a big one?
Isn't that where they filmed The Office?
I seem to remember there is a big Honda factory.
I think I went past it on a train once, actually.
Oh, shit. No, there was a big Honda factory. It's now closed down. But it was famous. It was famous in Swindon.
Rebel Rockers, Kings of Leon have played Swindon.
It must have a DFS.
Fairly sure that my dad pulled the car over in Swindon when I was about 8 so I could be sick.
Oh, yeah, Swindon. My mate's ex-boyfriend was from Swindon, and he was really nice.
Does it have a screw fix?
Well, there's a lot to digest there.
Good representation of Swindon.
Well, I mean, you know, some of it felt more specific than others. I mean, I'm glad the friend's ex-boyfriend was really nice. And, you know, sorry about the person who was sick by the side of the road at the age of 8. Not ideal. Particularly if that was anything to do with the magic roundabout. Honda is a delicate subject. Can't speak for the DFS. Can speak for the magic roundabout. One of the best gyratories in the UK. 5 smaller roundabouts around 1 central roundabout right next to the county ground, the Theatre of Screams. And what else was covered? Someone went past it on a train.
A lot of it was just going past signs that said Swindon.
I don't know. I've not been to Screwfix Swindon, but I'd be surprised if there wasn't one in the Greenbridge Retail Park.
Okay, we're going to do your wild combo in a minute, but first I need to rate what we've just had. I like it a lot, Ivo. It's up there in my top three things this series. I'm going to give it 8 bursans out of 8. This is What a Combo, and me and my guest Ivo Graham are back. Next up, it's the Wild Combo. This is something Ivo's brought in for me. It's a main course, and it's going to be quite unusual. I can't even remotely guess what it is, especially when it comes to this man.
Yes, please.
So this looks like half an aubergine and some satay sauce?
Yeah, it's like a sort of miso peanut sauce.
This is really unexpected.
Yeah, well, we've already talked about the versatility of peanut.
You're going to need a fork. I've just taken the last fork.
That's all right. I shouldn't have gone so early on my forking my borsan. I bet it's absolutely fantastic. I mean,
is this how you normally eat it? You just spread it on?
Well, it's
like
tricky.
A sandwich.
When you don't have a fork, you have to go with the one bit you really can do, which is the spreading.
Well, I've been going to just stop filming and go and get one.
Well, yeah, no, but I don't want to, you know, the continuity is so delicate. Fern's hugely appreciating these combos that I've brought in.
That is a chewy aubergine. Very, well, what a texture.
Oh, really? You'd rather your aubergine was scorched, burnt to a crisp.
It's good, though.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. This is good. Nice and salty. So when would you eat this?
Aubergines were a big part of my lockdown. My brother and his girlfriend. The problem is, let's use the word no one wants to hear used. It's craggy. It's not anecdote central, a peanut-soaked aubergine. But there we go. My brother and his girlfriend, both vegetarians, we lived together during lockdown, and they cooked a lot of fantastic things with aubergines. But I found that attempts to do them myself since, I can never get the texture right. This is nice. This is nice. There's a bit of give. But using a miso or soy glaze, I'm such a fan of miso soup. Ideally, a miso ramen, like Wagamama used to do, or just those little sachets of miso paste that you can just add to boiling water. I'd say I had one of those a day as a teenager.
Yummy!
So hang on, is this going to be like this crisp audio of us? Like, aren't people going to hate this? Sorry.
I think the audio of this one's going to be hard because of all the claggy mouth noises.
Have your guests tended to go for crunchier food?
Do you know what? You're one of the only people that's not brought in crisps. There's been a lot of crisps.
Really? I mean, I love crisps. I think I've got to be quite high up the list of sort of crisp-eating comedians. I was thinking of getting in touch with Richard Osman to say that he hasn't done the World Cup of Crisps on Twitter for a long time. And I know he's very busy with the books, but is he going to do another one? And if not, could I take it over?
If you were able to advertise crisps, what brand would you do?
I'd like to represent. I mean, I don't know. It's obviously Doritos are probably the crisps that I've eaten most in my life. But would I like to be associated with a sort of newer, sort of cooler crisp? I'll tell you what I don't like is those truffle crisps.
What are they, like kettle chips or something?
What's the bag called? I can't remember what they're called. Torres truffles.
Oh,
confirmed in my ear.
Oh, I like them.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome to advertise them.
Because they look like the kind of crisps that you buy from a shop that's called a general store that sells sourdough and things.
It's aspirational again.
Yeah.
Can't bear it. Crisps should be an inherently shameful experience.
that's
where Doritos come in.
That's a lovely soundbite for the trailer. I haven't really spoken.
Because
I have eaten it all.
It's been disappearing.
And I had aubergine for my dinner last night.
Did you make that?
No, I had butter beans a la norma. You know how you get pasta a la norma? With aubergines and ricotta and stuff. I made it with beans.
How nice, Fern.
You've recently become a fan.
My daughter started at school. Sorry. I think you said you recently became a father.
No.
A fan of radishes.
When you said that your daughter had started at school, my brain started to panic and I was like, what have I missed here?
Yeah, no, that's got nothing to do with me being a fan of radishes.
Listen, so I said this to, we had Tim Key on the show. He loves radishes. I've recently tried to get into radishes because I like Miriam Margolyes a lot. And I saw her saying that radishes are great, but she has crackers. They're not. I tried it last
Stick
week.
Stick them in the middle. We can put them in the peanut with everything else.
I've got you your own bowl because I know that you love games. We're going to play a game.
Oh, fun.
You love them, don't you?
I love
someone,
games.
Someone who we both know told me that you stopped everything at the pub once to get everyone to play board games.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And everyone was in the middle of their pints and you insisted on board games.
I hear you, Joe, and it was a great
night.
Yeah,
it was George. So I've devised this quiz to see if you really do love pink edible root vegetables by seeing how many you can fit in your mouth. Now, the way this game works is I'm going to ask you a question about Swindon or vegetables. If you get it wrong, you put a radish in your mouth and keep it there. If you get it right, I put a radish in my mouth and keep it there. Whoever has the most radishes in their mouth by the end is the loser. It's as simple as that. Or is it? Because for health and safety reasons, we have to say that you're not allowed to tilt your head back at any point for risk of choking. If you do, you lose the game automatically and maybe even your life.
No tilting.
Right.
My T-shirt has the word tilt written on it about 50 times.
Okay.
Because of the Confidence Man album of the same name. But I will not obey its instructions. Right.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You understand the game.
Yes, this is clearly going to be the takeaway content from this whole experience. Getting a question wrong about Swindon with a mouthful of radishes.
Which vegetable was the first to be canned?
As in marketed in cans or like sort of... discontinued.
As in marketed As in or discontinued?
British Folk was canned after one series. the first can. What are the big canned? Sweet corn.
You're wrong. It was peas.
Oh dear. It's a radish. Oh, peas. Of course. Well, there we go. I'm not unhappy with my guess of
in
sweet corn.
In the mouth. Which James Bond actor once called Swindon a great place after filming there?
Roger Moore. Sir Roger Moore.
You're wrong.
Going for the small radish.
It looks like you're enjoying the first radish that went in. You've not to lick or chew it in any way.
I'm doing my best to interact with the radishes as little as possible.
Okay. Pentland Javelin.
Which Bond was it?
Oh, sorry, it was Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, sorry, Pierce.
Pentland Javelin and Desiree are varieties of which vegetable?
Desiree?
Is it not the desire? Do you know what it is? There's a comedian called Desiree who doesn't look anything like a potato, but really doesn't. And for some reason, I just said her name. I just thought you'd spelled it wrong and that they were fucking out. Right.
Do you always say Desiree instead of desire?
I don't know why I did that.
Is it potatoes?
Yes.
You know that you said potatoes just then. You said Desiree Birch looks nothing like a potato. You've given it to me, Fern.
Okay. Which popular Britpop band named themselves after a leisure centre in Swindon?
Oasis.
Nice, but bad for me.
It's Tool. It's Tool. How many questions in this quiz?
There's a lot more questions to go and this is already uncomfortable. Mm. Which vegetable's name comes from the Italian for the flowering crest of a cabbage?
Well, I mean, I've got absolutely no idea. Italian?
For the flowering crest of a cabbage.
Arugula.
Is that your answer?
Well, I don't know. It's easier to not answer, isn't it, in this case?
You're wrong.
Radicchio.
That's wrong again.
Broccoli.
Are we allowed to... It is broccoli, but we have to take your first answer in the mouth. I noticed you picked the smallest radish in your bowl there and not that one.
Yeah, of course, Fern. Broccoli.
Okay.
Like, probably the vegetable I eat the most. And my daughter eats the most. That's shameful. And
on
it's related
to
James Bond as well, Barbara Broccoli.
We're equal just now. You've got three.
I'm on three. Yeah, but it's not about the radish, it's about the shame.
Swindon used to be known as Swine Town. After what animal?
Pigs? Well, you must have known you were going to be taking a radish for that.
Elephant garlic is a variant of which vegetable?
Garlic.
Is that your final answer?
No, onion.
No, it's leek. Remember not to tilt your head, keep it forward.
When you were saying, apparently you're a big fan of radishes, I was excited to tell a beautiful story about my friends Elsa and Luke preparing this gorgeous birthday lunch for my sister, which kicked off with this stunning bowl of radishes. And then my sister's the first initial...
Sounds like a great party.
Yeah, well, it was a family lunch, okay? We got loose later on, but we started off with some radishes. Don't take your radishes out midway through
my episode. I'm not swallowing out my mouth.
They made a sort of big buttery G for the first letter of her name, and it was stunning. But never mind that. Let's just keep popping these radishes in my mouth because I don't know what elephant garlic is.
You make a big buttery G.
If you stumbled across this content
in Ireland, G means fanny.
Right. Key didn't have to do this, did he?
No.
If any of the guests have to put four radishes in their mouth for a
No call. One, okay. Just you. Which TV personality affiliated with The Apprentice was born in Swindon?
Oh, Nick Hewer. Yes!
Right. That's the last question. There is actually another four question, so we can't keep going like this. It's a draw. Hooroo!
I'm just monstering through my radishes. They're so nice.
Oh, you're eating them. Mm. I don't want to eat them. That's bad. You saw the big bowl of radishes. This is going to be the start of a mad dinner.
Oh. Mm.
I'll try one there.
It's quite full on, actually, eating all four radishes in one go.
They don't taste as bad as when I was younger. They've started to taste better. Mm. But they still taste like dirt from the ground. I'm making my eye twitch. I've got drool on my arms. But I like that game. I've got to rate your wild combo.
Through a mouthful of radishes.
Through a mouthful of petrol-flavoured radishes. It was great. I wish there was more of it. That's my only complaint. I wish there was another two aubergines.
Wow.
This is What a Combo, and we're back. It's now time for the Twisted Combo. This is a combination of foods, Ivo. It's been dreamed up by the Twisted Food Scientists. They're not real scientists that will either make us want to celebrate or commiserate with each other. So neither of us know what this one is. Ivo hasn't picked this one. Let's see what's under the cloth.
But the milkshakes are quite... Right.
Fantastic. Oh, I thought it might be this. So this is a combo promoted by McDonald's back in 2020 and by Wendy's in the US.
We're not to mention them, Ellie.
I should tell you, it's fries and what I think is a strawberry milkshake and whipped cream.
That's what it feels like. I mean, it's not really you have a standard meal at McDonald's, where one of the offered drinks is a milkshake and you're having a chip, so... Other than actually dipping them in, which obviously is vile, I don't really know what's different to just having a normal, this isn't what a combo.
No, there's a science behind it because this specific pairing stimulates taste buds that aren't active in the presence of sugar alone.
Right.
So the salt enhances the sweetness instead of cancelling it out.
Mmm.
It's like now your brain's recognising it.
Yeah, one of the reasons I've never made anything for myself in the food world is that I don't know what a good combo is. For me, it's just like, I was saying the other day when I was talking about this show, it's just like when Joey has the trifle with the meat in it. And he can't understand why it's not good because,
Oh, the
cream,
individual
good,
parts.
Meat,
are,
good.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm getting here. It's fantastic, but is it just chips and a strawberry milkshake?
Mmm.
So this is a science project, is it? Us eating these chips and milkshakes together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think if you're on the science section of YouTube and this video has come up, you're going to feel let down by your algorithm.
You're really going for it. Do you like strawberry milkshakes? Because I'll
eat anything. This stuff needs to
have
be taken
Have you noticed how much I'm avoiding the milkshake?
I have noticed that.
So I think the chips and the cream is good.
Chips are much more available than milkshakes. You can't be saying every time you get given a plate of chips, would you mind getting me a milkshake just to bring the flavour out?
What's the most disgusting combination you've eaten? Has there been anything that you've been ashamed of? Because you're about to go on tour.
Yeah, that will bring back into some more bad habits, I would say.
Well, that was what I was going to say. I was going on tour with his new show, Organised Fun. Mm. I eat quite strangely on tour. I think most comedians do.
Mm.
But we just all have different ways of going about it. What do you generally have?
I try to be organised by making myself a nice sort of Tupperware thing,
mm-hmm.
which is so miserable.
Same. I start off the tour doing that.
I remember I was in a traffic jam on the M1 a few months ago on my way north mm-hmm. to, I can't remember where, I'd like to say Southport. And I was it was just complete standstill at about 5 p.m. So while I worried about whether I'd make it to my gig in time, I cracked into my thing and people were just sort of looking and pointing through the windows. I was just sort of eating like with a fork, eating my pasta at the steering wheel.
Oh.
But I don't really, you know, I do not stand on ceremony, Fern. It's very difficult for me to have food in the car, even without just eating it all immediately.
I've always made incredible progress through his milkshake. I've been cheating and just eating the fries. I'm so sorry. I've done this a lot.
Can I tell you another thing from my time at popular all-boys boarding school, Eton College?
Yes.
I was house catering rep.
You were the catering rep at Eton?
Yeah, yeah.
How awful.
Just for my...
As if they weren't already traumatised from having just parents not wanting to see them all year. They've then got you in charge of the food. Dishing out slop.
It's bad news after bad news, I'm afraid. No, I had very little input on what was actually served up, apart from when it was our house's house choice for the school canteen, Beckington. So I went round with my clipboard during sort of the homework period, getting everyone to vote for what they wanted. And what we voted for was chicken nuggets and chips as the main course and then Angel Delight as the pudding.
You know, I used to eat that all the time.
Angel Delight's fantastic. Mm. My dad loves it. You'd think that the school canteen is trying to nudge its teenage future leaders into slightly more aspirational places than chicken nuggets and chips and Angel Delight. But they respected the democracy and they gave us what we voted for. And it was hugely popular and it won House Choice of the Year. And we got a trophy. Our housemaster reflected that while it had been a pretty poor year for the house on various other silverware front, house catering rep Ivo Graham had really come through by cutting through the bullshit.
Can I ask you something about boarding schools? I remember one of my friends saying that they weren't allowed to be seen eating crisps out and about in their school uniform or they would get in trouble because it's like bad for the school's reputation for the girls to be seen eating crisps. Well, is this a thing at Eton?
Mm. If you were in uniform, mm-hmm. you had to, you had to do your very best not to bring shame on the school.
Mm-hmm.
Not eating out and about. Even just talking about it makes me aware of how far I've fallen in terms of, a teenage boy in a tailcoat on best behaviour, fearing the very worst, well, not the very worst kind of punishment. Most of that had been outlawed, but getting told off for, even being seen out and about with a crisp. And now I'm sort of chatting away in a T-shirt through a mouthful of chips.
To someone from Bathgate.
To someone from Bathgate for some, very well-intentioned but thematically confusing food-based content.
I should be shouting at you through a TV, Prime Minister Graham.
Exactly. So congratulations on your direction of travel, but I'm afraid mine has been a failure.
And on that note about social mobility, we'll end. That's it from me and Ivo. Thank you so much for joining me. And best of luck on your tour.
Thanks, Fern.
Well, break a leg. I like to say break a leg instead. You can find all of today's recipes on Twisted's Instagram page. You can head over there now and discover other combos we've made throughout our time on the show. And join me next week where I'll be eating strange food combinations with comedian and TikTok sensation, Abby Clark. Bye.
Bye.